Welcome back to another edition of Plumbing Secrets and Other Political Trappings. Thank you, Bill West, for this wonderful intro music, as always. And this is Season 3, Episode 2, and it's entitled Ukraine and Plumbing. So if that piqued your interest, it will be kind of an interesting podcast. And some of you might be looking at the date on this and say, you know, I just listened to their podcast the other day. This seems awful soon. Well, during the other podcasts, you know, I'm sure you're watching the news and you heard me mention, you know, Ukraine was getting invaded by our lovely friend, Mr. Putin. So that's our topic today. This is Ed Harris. I'm your host. We have a little ground to cover. And, you know, everybody's got perspectives and everybody has viewpoints, all that good stuff. You've got your whole, you know, slate of political pundits out there, you know, doing their thing. But for the sake of the podcast and the sake of my sanity, you know, I have to look at this through a certain lens, a certain set of eyes, plumber's eyes, if you will. And when you look at it through that lens, it makes certain things very obvious. Because if you follow the news on this, there's just, you know, all these opinions and all these different angles, and what is this person thinking and what is this person doing, and that they focus on whatever the latest and greatest is that particular second, you know, instead of maybe looking at some key things and stepping back away from it, looking at an overall picture, if you will. And even though some of these things that I'm going to talk about in the next couple of minutes are, you know, kind of very specific. They're you know, some of these items, some of these statistics and things, what they do is guide you to a summary or a singular point of, you know, that's a little bit unavoidable, you know, when you follow that path. Now, in the news, there have been others that have done this also via a different way, but not that many from what I'm hearing. So they all seem a little bit lost, and they jostle around, and sometimes they'll hit it and sometimes they don't. But if you haven't been following it, it is much more simpler than you might think. For history's sake, Russia invaded Ukraine. Kiev is basically the birthplace of Mother Russia. You know, the I'm saying Kiev, the region right there. Who knew Putin was so nostalgic, huh? Or even cared about even one single Russian. I still am not seeing that, and I'm going to prove it today. So they invaded it. It was all part of the bloc. You know, it was essentially Russia. You know, it was all together. USSR broke up. A handful of nations sort of stayed with Russia really tight. The rest of them slowly gravitated other directions and became more independent. You know, that's the general gist, right? So, and for those of you who haven't pulled on a map in the last week, don't remember it from high school or college, Ukraine butts right up to Russia. You know, it's like right there on the border. And it's... an interesting thing, you know, that somebody would go to this length to do what they've done. But what piqued my interest and what, you know, got me actually looking into it was a couple of things. When this all first started, unrelated to plumbing at first, I noticed on the news because, you know, I'm a veteran, United States Army. You know, it's not, well, actually, yes. All services have some level of training where you're looking at insignias and you know, signs of other armies so you can recognize them, know what their ranks are, what is in that vehicle, what does that vehicle usually carry. You know, it's not just as simple as, oh, the big Red Cross is the Red Cross. It can be very complicated. And yes, all five services have certain levels of what they teach their troops. The divisions I was attached to, it was very serious. So I just happened to have, you know, just by chance, happened to have a little bit of that knowledge. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the Russian vehicles and the uniforms and noticing some of the markings. And it was very odd because I just happened to know a little bit about it. And then, you know, later on, it actually did come out in the news. So this isn't like breaking news here on the podcast. No, it's not. Not in the least. But, you know, things like Z troops and just different markings. As it turned out, a bunch of these guys, okay, and it's still not an exact number, but there's somewhere between about 150,000 and 200,000 troops involved. Doesn't mean they've all crossed the border. I don't believe they have, but plenty have. But the ones that, many of the ones that have markings that place them as part of not the regular army. It's kind of like the Royal Guard or something is a good example. You know, remember in Iraq how Saddam had his Royal Guard, and in the old Korea, you know, dating way back, that, you know, they had their Royal Guard too. This is pre North and South, and we're talking about, you know, hundreds of years ago. But there have been many countries that have that special guard that only report to the king. And but in the olden times, okay, you know, the old days, so to speak, that was the king, not a president, not a prime minister. And as we all know, you know, Putin thinks he's a king. And he acts like a king, and he runs the country like he's a king, and not a good one. Not your typical monarch. He's it, and no one else will be better than him ever. So, and he has no concern about what will happen after he is no longer here. So these troops, it's looking like quite a few of them, are just basically Royal Guard. They're loyal to him. Now, on a side note, typically, those types of troops, you'll have some of them that are very good at certain things. And throughout history, the majority of them will have a segment that are great for like hit and run stuff, like go assassinate somebody or something like that. They also have a very large portion of them that are not dissimilar to our Secret Service, what we call the Secret Service, who protects, you know, our dignitaries, namely the president, right? That's the most high-level person they protect. So their version of their Royal Guard would, you know, also kind of be involved with that. Certain members of the government, maybe the oligarchs in this case. And yes, we all know that we've all heard the stories. It's a throwback to the KBG sort of, you know, it's sort of advanced, from KGB, but yet not. In fact, in some ways, the old KGB was much more thorough. The new stuff is just not that organized. That's what's amazing. It's like a rusting ship that's been painted, and it looks like it's awesome, but then you touch it and your finger goes right through the paint because there's no steel behind it. So, yeah, you know, it makes you wonder what exactly is going on, because these guys come in and in perspective, the numbers that we think we know are, you know, somewhere around 1 million active duty servicemen in Russia. And Ukraine has around, you know, 200,000 or something. So when you look at it, you're like, you know, wow, that's not much of a competition. That's not, they're just going to roll in and that's going to be it. But if it's not the regular army that's used to fighting wars and getting in the trenches and moving ahead inch foot by, you know, foot and trudging through, these guys really aren't, you know, geared up for that kind of thing. They're like, run in, take a hit, come out. It's over. So it that in of itself lends you to think at least one thing, which is, well, actually two. One thing is Putin thought this is going to go pretty quick, that it'd be over in a day, maybe two. Didn't expect the resistance and the organized resistance that these people would have. The other thing that it throws into mind that you need to just, you know, make a little footnote in your brain is the fact that why would you use troops that are only loyal to you? Are you having a problem with the troops that are loyal to the country? Because there shouldn't be a distinction. That's where countries topple. That's where they implode, is when that happens. We're all in it together or we're not. That's usually how a country succeeds. Clearly, Ukraine is all in it together. So putting those little footnotes in your brain is kind of important. The other big red flag that made me dive into this and start looking into it and thinking, looking at it from a plumber's perspective, is that these same troops, you know, immediately started harming infrastructure. One of the very first things they did was go into Chernobyl. And yes, just in case you were worried, you should be a little worried for those poor people that are anywhere within 500-600 miles of there, because radiation levels have all of a sudden started going up. So they've screwed with something there. We don't know what. It's in a bad spot. It's hard to tell, you know, looking through a spy satellite. But we'll find out eventually. We'll find out what they've done and what they've harmed. But they also started going through and literally killing water treatment systems, sewer treatment plants. They did blow up a few gas lines. But nothing, the gas lines were nothing too major, right? And apparently from what I'm hearing is their own troops shut those off after they blew them up. So they went to that trouble. But why would you bother this early in the game messing with sewer treatment plants, water treatment plants, things like that? It didn't make sense. It just kept lingering in my mind. And of course, from a plumbing standpoint, I thought, look, be objective. Don't come to any conclusions. But while you're being objective, following the lines of plumbing, what do you see when you're looking at Russia? And when I looked at this, I can't believe I didn't know this stuff, but it's pretty sad, actually. But it has a different meaning than you might think. When we start out looking at like Russia and their plumbing, what you come to find out in round terms, because you got to remember, we don't have access to the real records. So most likely it's much worse than what we are able to see. But in round terms, when you look at Russia and things that we all take for granted, something like indoor plumbing. In other words, somewhere to use number two, somewhere to wash your hands. But you know, a toilet. One fifth of all of Russia has no indoor plumbing of any kind. Nothing. No running water, no sewer, no toilet, nothing. And we know that Russia is not exactly located in the Caribbean, okay? So, you know, let your mind wander there. Think about winter and snow and freezing temperatures. And the interesting part of that one-fifth, it might be easy to let your mind wander off and think, oh, that's just the people that live out in the country. No, actually. It's almost, you know, very even from what's been uncovered. It's very even throughout the entire country. So it can be in the middle of an urban area, a city you may have never heard of, that kind of thing. And, you know, when you run into that kind of scenario and you have 100,000 people with no plumbing and they're all just going outside to whatever, a tree, a hole in the ground. I mean, an outhouse is nothing but a hole in the ground with a roof over it. It doesn't decompose very well, like a septic system. So you're dealing with all kinds of bugs, actual insects, okay, that are biting, spreading disease, and of course the worst bugs, which is viruses and bacteria. So that's really not a good thing. The other thing that also tips you off to knowing that, wow, this is really bad, is that only 9% of people who do live in the urban areas of Russia will say that their plumbing works. In other words, they won't brag about it. They're not going to complain too much about it, but only 9% say it just, you know, it works, and that's it. So, again, these flags start going up. You start thinking, wow, this is like billions of dollars being spent on invading a country who's, you know, it's got a few natural resources. It's about the size of Texas, but it's not located in the climate region that Texas is, our Texas. You know, and as you know, Texas is, you know, it's got the Gulf and it's got some deserts, but it's got tons of farmland, very temperate area for the most part, has some seasons as you get farther up north into Texas. So lots of diversity. You can do all kinds of things with that land. That's not Ukraine. Ukraine does have some forests and it does have some farmland, and you know, so there are some resources. But when you're thinking about, wow, from a plumber standpoint, all the money that they're spending, and when you find out that in the industrialized nations, I forget what it is, it's like, what, 129, you know, the list changes a little every year. It can change every month sometimes, but you scroll down, you start scrolling, looking for Russia, and you keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and you find out from a plumbing standpoint that Russia is ranked 95th. Now I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very good. That sounds actually really, really, really bad. Actually kind of scary, when you think about it. They are killing their own people is what you would, you know, kind of surmise at first. And why would you let your own people suffer like that? Well, once again, when you know these facts, you know these figures, and you know when they're coming in Some of the things they're automatically, immediately targeting are that particular type of infrastructure. By the way, the numbers in Russia prior to COVID, so you don't go blaming COVID and saying, oh, this, it probably caused some issues in Russia or this invasion. Oh, it's, you know, they're really strapped. It was getting worse before all that. The numbers were literally going down for people that actually had working plumbing. So once again, that goes to maintaining all these things. And when you couple that and you start looking again, step back, look at the big picture, and the fact that this is what their army is doing right up front. And just for you people that are not war buffs, typically that's not the first thing you do. That's one of the last things you do, because you want to use some of their infrastructure for your own armies. So blowing up sewer treatment plants and blowing up water treatment plants and ruining those types of things, typically that's scorched earth stuff, okay? That's where you have absolutely no intention of really truly occupying it or being there, and you really don't care who is left. You don't care if everybody dies. And if there is anybody left, they'll have nothing, and they will be completely dependent on you for everything. And it's, you know, that whole, you know, the phrases over the years, you know, the man keeping you down. Well, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what that is entailing. And when you find out they do this on a regular basis back in Russia, then it makes sense why this is part of the playbook, why they take away the plumbing. They send you back to, you know, the mid-1800s. And that part of the mid-1800s was not a good part, okay? A lot of people died of disease and illness that they didn't have to die, but we didn't know that. We thought it was just part of life, and that's why life expectancy was so low. These things were just God's will. You know, you'd hear stuff like that. Turns out, no, these were all very preventable. And you look at another little thing to like stick in the back of your mind when you're looking at the big picture. There are not people going in droves to Russia. Okay. Now, granted, it's America. We are not the crystal city on the hill. Okay. We have our problems. We have our share of issues. We all know this. But people will literally walk from South America through Central America and Mexico just to get here, just to have a better life. Okay. Well, there's nobody walking from England to Russia. All right. They're not. There was another little dig, just little things that start to add up, and you start to look at it from a bigger picture. You know, what exactly is going on? And if you can compare it to us a little bit, but you got to be careful about comparisons. You know, these people I was mentioning that walk from South America, these are people of color. You know, these aren't the 1950s white crowd or anything. Okay. These are people of color who are walking 1,000 miles for a better life because it's so bad where they're at. All right. But they know things aren't perfect here, but it ain't Russia. And you know, to add to that, America, you know, we do have the reputation of locking up people, quite a few. We fill our prisons mostly with people of color. And it's very disproportionate here in America. And yes, we still have things in place like the death penalty. But to bring that up in a public release, like Putin did, he makes a dig saying, maybe we'll bring back the death penalty. They haven't had the death penalty in Russia for 25 years. And the reason is not because they're so humanitarian. They don't care. They'll kill who they want, when they want, and they would rather be in control of that themselves than courts, because it takes too long to go through the courts to kill them, when all Putin has to do is say, go to England and poison the guy. They go to England, they poison the guy because he crossed Putin. So, you know, he didn't have to worry about having the guy arrested and getting extradition done and bringing him before a court and charging him with Russian espionage. And some of you know who I'm talking about. It was a nice man. He used to work for Russia, came from Russia. He was a spy, and he traded secrets with the West. They basically tracked him down in England, poisoned him, and he died. And Putin was responsible for it. He did it. He had it done. And it was much quicker than having it done through courts, having him receive the death penalty for treason. Regardless of what you think on that topic, it doesn't matter, because that's not our laws. That's not our problem. That was his problem. So as you start adding these things up and looking at this big picture, the other thing that you have to ask, since they're blowing up the plumbing systems, is why now? Why right this minute? I mean, for those of you who don't know the basic history, Ukraine had a crooked leader. He was basically just a dictator. And he wasn't really a dictator. He was actually just basically an employee of Putin, who was told to act like a dictator and run things like a dictator. So he did. And the country ousted the guy, found out he was ripping off the country like nobody's business, okay, living the life. And it was crazy. You know, people are dying of starvation, and this guy is, you know, living the movie star life. So they got rid of him. He slipped out under the cover of darkness to Russia. And Putin tried to reinstall him, sort of. Didn't give it a really good college try, but no invasion. Nothing happened like that. And I think our current president of Ukraine is the second. So, you know, we've had a couple of presidents. He didn't invade Ukraine when this guy was made president. If anything, he looked at this guy because he had previously been a comedian. And he laughed at that and thought, well, that's just going to work to my advantage. This guy isn't going to be able to handle anything, which we're finding that's not true. But, and in the meantime, when this is all going on, looking at it from Putin's viewpoint, the U.S. was all up in there. Okay. What's the phrase? Up in their business. Yeah. He was all up in it. We had all kind of people over there cutting deals and doing all kind of things. And basically what, some people give a good example in Iran, you know, they like to point their finger, try to talk about how decadent the Americans are. And it's 'cause our lifestyle doesn't match up with theirs. And that's the easiest thing for them to say. But we were in Ukraine and it was, you know, doing all kind of those Western sort of things, right? And he didn't invade. Basically, when the president and the legislature there was entertaining the thought of and being courted a bit with NATO and with the EU, And I got to tell you, when I look back at all the information we have, I really don't think NATO was that serious of an offer. It was like, hey, maybe someday you might want to, but you know, we're not going to accept you now, probably. I don't know that it was that strong. So it more boiled down to the EU. And as we found out today, this morning, the president of Ukraine has photos and everything of him doing it. He signed the application for the EU, and obviously the EU is accepting him because they've all pulled together. All 27 countries has nothing to do with the U.S. We have nothing to do with the EU. We're not in on their stuff. They communicate with America because we cooperate. And as you all know, Britain is now, you know, separate from the EU, but they cooperate also. So the EU has come together and said, we're not going to let you do this. We're going to help Ukraine in every way imaginable, arms, money. I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of days that some of these countries offer troop assistance. That'll be a big one too. That'll be, you know, putting your money where your mouth is. So you have to ask, is this about money? You know, looking at this, and I mean, there's money to be made, and would it be inconvenient for Putin if Ukraine went with EU, which they've done? It's not an if anymore. What's left of Ukraine is in the EU now. Yeah, it might pinch him a little bit. He could possibly lose money, but he could turn around and by altering a few things, make just as much money as he made before. He just has to deal with a few hoops, just like everybody else does in the EU. Wouldn't be some massive loss, okay? But what it really boils back to, that I can surmise from all this, taking into account all those factors that we've thrown out there, looking at it from a plumbing viewpoint, it's all about control. He feels like he's losing control or will lose control. And this country that is the originator of all that is Russia, okay, is saying goodbye. Well, to a narcissistic dictator, which many of them are narcissistic, probably most, who is a, you know, a combination of borderline psychopath, borderline sociopath. When you mix all that together, it really sticks in his craw. And he loses track of reality, which is what Putin has done. And you know, most people don't think about sociopaths and psychopaths being emotional, but you know, they have their set of emotions, and they do tend to be crazy sets of emotions. So you know, one end of the spectrum will be nil. And that's why we oftentimes will think about how people who are like that have no remorse. And that's not really exactly true. You know, it makes for good television, a nice TV show in the 60s or whatever, in the 70s. But as more and more time goes by and people actually start talking about, you know, reality, they start finding out more of what that exactly entails and means. And they're a little slippier than that. So it's not a matter of no remorse. It's more of a matter of, in certain areas, they can't relate. Just absolutely can't relate. But yet, in other areas, they're extraordinarily empathetic. And you know, that goes against everything you've seen on TV. You got to stop basing things on crap you see on TV shows, because it's really not the truth, okay? Look into it. Read a book. So Putin's a little more complicated than that. And he has all these tendencies. And apparently the optics mean more to him than the money. The fact of the perceived loss of control. Because when you cut off somebody's sewer and they can't use the bathroom anymore, they are absolutely positively yours. Okay, they can't get clean water. So now they have to rely on you, your army, your country, to just basically sustain them, barely to keep you alive. And by the way, that puts you in a position where you can't really fight back. You're too weak. So all you can do is sit there and barely exist. Hang on. Hope to get out. Hope your children get out at some point, somehow, some way. And if you've done this to your entire country, then, and it does appear that a large swath of Russia is getting this kind of treatment, it means that the arrow points right back to control again, because this is what you're doing at home. And now you've extended exactly what you do at home into this invasion. And it's kind of a microcosm, you know, it's sort of like a snapshot, an example of what are you really like? And some of this, you know, people, the severity, you know, people worry about. And then when they hear things like this or they figure it out on their own, they realize, wow, it really is bad. We weren't off too far when we thought about this, when we worried about this. Now, I have no solution. I have to tell you, there's no happy ending here. My hope would be that the Russian people can get a grip. There are other people that are saying this. The chancellor of the EU has voiced this. Presidents, various presidents have voiced this. Nobody hates the Russian people. We just hate the people that are governing them and the way they're using their armies. The U.S. does not want to own Russia. We don't need Russia. We don't want Russia. Nobody's moving there, okay? Nobody wants to move there. We're good. We like our Florida or our Georgia or our New York or our L.A., you know, so forth and so on. Quite a few people in the free countries in the world, they like where they live. Canadians, for the most part, they like their stuff. Mexicans like their stuff. You know, there are some bad things going on in South America, but there's plenty of places in South America where people are very happy. And, you know, they may not be rich, but they're making a living, enjoying life and raising their kids, and they're free. Okay, they're not run by a dictator. So, and there's lots of places like that in Europe. There are a few places like that in the Middle East. Not many, but there's a few. And more every day, there's more places like that in Africa. So, you know, people don't, you know, want to go there. So it would be a fallacy to convince yourself of that. It would be what did he say the other day? Putin was talking about the body of lies. You won't provide basic toilet service for your own people, okay? That means there's people who are there at the Kremlin who will leave the Kremlin where they have a working toilet and go home at night to no toilet. And in the middle of the winter when it's 20, you know, or let's say it's 20 below, they have to dress and go out to a form of an outhouse because they don't have plumbing. And they're drinking rainwater that's been boiled, okay, if they're able to boil it, if they're able to spare the wood to boil it. That's what you're, you know, that's how little you care about your own people. Basic plumbing needs, basic clean water, basic evacuation of of debris from for the bathroom or for bathing. So there's literally people who work in the same building as this guy that will leave and not have that when they get home. They probably use the toilet before they go home. I think I would, but I doubt there's a place to shower though. But that tells you the level of distorted perception that we're dealing with. And, you know, to say that the EU is lackeys for America, that's kind of a joke, folks. If you're hearing that, some of that's being said on literally here in America on conservative radio and television and in podcasts. And that is just really bizarre because guess what? Trump ruined our relationships with practically every single one of the 27 EU countries. England thinks we were idiots. They still think we're idiots to a certain extent. They were amazed that we couldn't get rid of Trump via impeaching him because of how egregious the things he did, you know, was. So, yeah, it was pretty amazing. And we survived it. So, no, we didn't have some sterling relationship with everybody. And whether you like Joe Biden or not, you know, Joe Biden's not, he seems like a pretty decent guy, but he's not President Obama. He's not President Nixon. He's not Harry Truman or Eisenhower. You know, these people that had the ability to walk into a room of and be hated and walk out with people not hating them anymore. They respected them. They may not agree, but they weren't going to try and attack us after they had met with those leaders. And that's, you know, I mean, Biden has some of that. But he doesn't have the level. So, no, we you know, they're not doing America's bidding. If anything, they're all still a little bit ticked at us for being so stupid and making the mistakes we made. And they long since have decided to go it alone. Now, when you look at those 27 countries, that's the other thing, and you're looking at the statistics, they are all, you know, every single one of them are like in the top 40 of countries that are industrialized, okay, when it comes to plumbing. So the fact that Russia has the time or money to invade a neighboring country with billions of dollars, wasting it, just to maintain some type of twisted control speaks volumes. And the fact that they're 95th, and that's not something that's going to get better overnight. So finishing the earlier thought, I hope that they can get their act together and take back their country. They have a lot to take back. It goes back quite a way. I mean, the last time the country actually probably ran smoothly, they had a czar. And it didn't run all that smooth then. But there were times they had good czars. That's the problem with monarchs, is sometimes you get a good one, sometimes you don't. But you're stuck with them for their lifetime. So that's, you know, the downside of that type of monarchy. So take the information. It's interesting. It's interesting how plumbing kind of brings that to light when you think about the magnitude of that and how that's something they're doing right up front. They're blowing it up and destroying it, making it so people can't use it for quite some time. So it'll be interesting to see how it all turns out. And it's interesting to keep an eye on that type of thing when it does occur. What are their actions? How far do they go in that area? So now you've seen the viewpoint of that. Little different podcast than usual. You know, we're usually talking about secrets to flappers and what to do under this scenario, but this was a little different. But it was on my mind, and it is happening right now. And I hope it does get better. It looks like there is some hope. And it does look like the world as a whole is somewhat standing up to him. So that would be nice. We'll see how it all turns out. We'll talk to you in the next podcast. If you have any suggestions, comments, topics you want, please send it to plumbingsecrets@yahoo.com and we will address it. And thank you all for your emails. Take care. And remember, hey, what do I know? I'm just a plumber.